3, 2, 1.
Here we go.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the No Normal Show, brought to you by BPD. We are a marketing services firm that delivers the future to healthcare's leading brands. This show, hopefully you know this. If you're new, you don't. This is where we leave all the things status quo, traditional, old school, ChatGPT-4. And the boring in the dust and celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the bold, all focused around the future of healthcare marketing communications. I am Chris Bevelo, Chief Transformation Officer, and I am so excited to have with us today Andy Chang, Chief Marketing Officer of UChicago Medicine. Andy, hi.
Chris, hi.
Thank you for joining today.
Yeah. Is this thing on?
Yeah, we're good. We're good, especially since we're going to talk about technology later. So let's hope our technology works.
We'll see.
For that conversation. Okay, so we are going to cover a few things. We're going to talk about maybe the most important thing of all, which is video games, because that's a passion that Andy and I share. We will hit a couple of headlines on AI, some big news dropping just yesterday, I think, as we record this. And then we're going to talk technology with Andy Chang, and we're going to use this voice. We'll spend most of the time talking about technology in marketing and health system marketing, because that is Andy's sweet spot. Can I call it your sweet spot?
Sure. Yeah, let's do it. That's okay. My sweet spot.
All right. So we'll get to all that in a little bit here. Just a couple of plugs. Remember, we have the Future of the CMO report available. In fact, Andy and I did a webinar this week on that very thing with our friend Christine Kotler. So you can download the report at our website. The link is in the show notes. And if you are feeling the squeeze in any way as a CMO, definitely reach out to us. We work with a lot of folks who are facing all kinds of issues right now that are new and fresh and no fun. And so if we can help you out in these roller coaster times, let us know. And if you can't get enough of this amazing show, make sure you subscribe to our newsletter, the No Normal Rewind, where we recap discussions like the one you're going to hear today with Andy and hit some extra insights. So, all right, all that out of the way. So much important news to get to. So let's start with probably the most important. How is Dying Light 2 going, Andy?
You know, I would say it's one of your better recommendations for me. Maybe not the best yet because I just started it, but I just started the level of trying to get his biomarker. And you know what really annoys me about that game? It's those flashbacks of them as kids, of him and his sister. And I can't tell if the little boy's voice is actually the little girl's voice and the little girl's voice is a little boy's voice. Like, I mean, who is talking? I don't know. They both sound like the same person to me. Otherwise, the gore is incredible. I mean, it is graphic. There's a lot of intestines in that game, and
4 out of 5 on the intestine scale. For those, by the way, we should probably step back.
Should step back. Yeah, step back. No normal rewind that.
Dying Light 2, Stay Human, is a video game. So we'll just start with that. I should have said that at the outset. Andy and I are prolific video gamers. We play a lot together. And this is a zombie apocalypse game that me and another friend spent a lot of time on in the pandemic when this first came out, I believe. Maybe not. Maybe it's not that old. But there's a new version of this coming out this month, in fact. So we're all getting back into it, so that we can pick up the new game. So yes, there's a lot. It's not a game for kids.
No, no.
Do you have a game you play with your kids, Andy?
Yeah, we play a lot of FIFA still. We just started playing Formula One, F1 racing. They are really into Super Mario Kart and also Stardew Valley. I think Stardew Valley is one of the most boring games ever. They're into Sneaky Sasquatch. We spend a lot of screen time on this house.
I've never heard of Snoopy Sasquatch. Well, what I will tell you, Andy, is I have, my kids are all now out of the nest. They're in their 20s, but I spent a lot of time with my kids when they were growing up.
Yeah.
And the argument that I perfected, and I believe it to my core, nobody will convince me otherwise, is it is actually great parent-child time.
That's
because
right.
you are engaged in something together.
That's right.
It is screen time, so you've got to be honest about screen time. But it's not everybody on their phone in the living room doing something separate.
Yeah.
It's not even watching TV, which is a latent activity.
You
That's are, right. And many times you're playing a game, or you're in a what's called a co-op game, where you're working together. So as long as you're not working together to up your intestine count, it can be a very good.
That's why I do it. Honestly, it's because I'm in Chicago during the week and I'm in Atlanta during the weekends. And the way that I connect with my kids without, you know, normally when I call them, they're just, it's a lot of silence, awkward silence, because they're just doing their own thing or starting to play with the emojis and the face AR stuff. And when we play video games, we're more focused on trying to beat each other up or trying to solve puzzles together. Maybe that's the better right. thing to say publicly. But yeah. Have you ever played Overcooked? By the way, Overcooked?
Yes. Overcooked
that,
is amazing.
That game tells you everything you need to know about a family, how well they gel or how well they don't gel. And we stopped playing.
No, that's fair. Yeah. Overcooked, for those who don't know, is where you work as a team in a kitchen to make food, and like some people are in charge of prep and some people are in charge of this or that. And so if somebody doesn't hold up their end of the bargain, you can't deliver the meal. And so, yeah, it can get pretty intense. You're all working together, but like little Joey, who's four, like, dude, pick up the pace. Like, we know you've got the controller upside down. You don't even know what these symbols mean, but come on, man. Right.
A lot of tears. Yeah. But we stopped.
You're cutting into my argument that it's great for families. So let's move on.
Let's move on.
So let's talk about AI real quick in our headline segment. A couple of things we want to hit on. The first is the news yesterday that OpenAI released ChatGPT-5.
That's right. The Cinco.
And what's that?
The Cinco.
The Cinco. Someday it'll be the Ocho, which is another. A whole other thing. I have not. It's been all over BPD and a lot of kind of POVs and here's what to know. I haven't had a chance to dig into it deep. I don't know if you have. The only thing I'll say is I see a lot of claims about how this is like PhD level stuff. So that's, I think, from OpenAI, and that'll come out over time. But I also saw somebody post something where they used ChatGPT-5 to tell them how many bees were in Blueberry. And the answer was 3. And the response was, well, how do you get 3? And they're like, there's 1 in blue and 2 in berries. And they're like, PhD level, right? So I don't know if that's even true. I would assume it probably is. But what do you know about it, Andy?
Yeah. I've spent a few hours on it yesterday. I played around a lot with it. It is noticeably faster. I asked it to do different modes, deep research, web search, projects, and it is definitely faster. It is, the language is slightly different. They updated the way that it talks back to you. It's less flowery and it's a little bit more professional, direct. And I see that too, which I like. I do like how it finds which model is best for you based on the question that you ask or the prompt that you give it. But it's definitely not perfect. I read an article or a couple articles, and they were saying on the creativity side, it's not that much better at all than 4. It's still, in some cases, 4 gives you better images from DALL-E or Sora videos. But I think they were focusing more on the logic engine behind it more than anything. So this is supposed to be their biggest release of the year. It's not as much cool stuff. It's more, like you said, like PhD level back end stuff. But it is, you know, compare that to GPT-2 or 3 or 1 even, right? It's still amazing what they've been able to produce in such a short time. So I'm a fan.
So I'm going to ask you this question, and I'll give you three choices of how to answer. How much time do you think you spend on an average day in AI? And your choices are some kind of quantification of hours, or, and this is where I'm going to qualify this as, where you're proactively using AI. Of course, AI is built into so many of the things that we use every day, like our iPhone, right? So I'm not going to, don't include like things that are just in something where you're actively using, let's say, ChatGPT as a tool or something else. So it's either quantitative by day or hour, or you don't count that because it's pretty much embedded in everything you do or most of what you do.
Yeah, I will say I stopped using Google. I now only use Perplexity. Sometimes I do use, I have to use Google, like if I'm doing a Google Images search, but my default is now Perplexity. I am constantly asking it to revise emails. I am asking for feedback on some of the stories I'm trying to tell from a presentation standpoint. Also ideas around, you know, personal stuff like what are some good restaurants that are popping up in Chicago that I should hear about lately. And it does the search for me. I'm using agentic on a pretty regular basis. And you know what people aren't talking enough about, by the way, not to kind of switch gears a little bit, is MCP, which is the connectors, the open model. I mean, excuse me, the open language connectors that are being built. And so I'm using those as well. So I can't quantify it for you, but let's just say a lot. Okay. Yeah. So, that's fair. So when you said three choices, I was thinking, I thought you were going to, who do you want to marry? Who do you want to kill?
No.
From an AI standpoint. No. Are you cutting that?
Stop with the two. I only gave you two choices. I said three, but I only gave you two.
So that's right.
Stop with marry and kill. We'll just stop right there. But let's do quickly switch to agentic. Because I know that's a big thing. You've talked about it personally. It's interesting to me because I'm just going to let you go on this. When I kept hearing about it, I'm like, all right, I better go back and remember what is meant here. So I wonder what your definition of it is. But when I read it, I'm like, isn't this redundant? Isn't this like a jumbo, or not jumbo shrimp? I guess that's oxymoronic. It feels redundant to say agentic AI. In my mind, what we mean by agentic is actually what AI is supposed to be. But what's your definition of it, and why is it a big deal to you?
Yeah. My definition of agentic is being able to handle tasks automatically that even with a generative AI would have required you to do some manual clicking or typing, what have you. But now those are being, like, your mouse and your keyboard is now being taken control. It is, to me, you're right. It is what AI was closer to what it was supposed to be intended for originally. And of course, there's AGI, which is the ultimate thing. But to me, agentic is more exciting than generative. Generative is fun. And sure, you can save a lot of time on generative for work, but agentic, you save days and you save real dollars with agentic. That's where the true ROI of AI comes in from my standpoint. So it is very exciting on that in that area. And I've been using agentic, like I just said. I've been using a lot of, well, when ChatGPT first released Operator, their agentic, it was not good. But it's getting better by the month. But then Perplexity released their browser, Comet. And that is now the browser I primarily use for default. And it has agentic built into it. So here's an example of how I used it last week. Everyone that works for a company has to go through compliance training or mandatory training courses that you have to then take a test for, watch all the videos. And they don't want you to just click through it all. They have to spend at least 2 hours on it. Well, I told the agentic AI, take this training for me. And it did it.
Do you want to? We may need to cut that out of this podcast. I don't know, like, how your clients would feel about that.
They would not be happy, but I'm going to show them. It's part of a presentation I'm giving to our executive leadership team of what agentic can do.
Did you pass?
I didn't pass. Well, I did pass, but the AI took the test for me and got an 80%, which was the minimum required to pass. And I recorded it. And now imagine there's like, 10 of these or 15 of these that you got to do, 15 agents running at the same time, just going through all of your compliance training. They're going to have to figure out how to, prevent this from happening. But that's just one use case. Another one is I want to do a search on our website at uchicagomedicine.org of how many physicians are listed on a website that fit these criteria. And instead of manually doing it, I just told the agent, go find it and put it into an Excel spreadsheet for me. Thank you. And it did it within, 15 minutes or so. Now imagine that for work. Times 100, because you don't have to have one agent. You can have as many agents as you want. It is literally the agents from the Matrix. Just you just clone it and have it do different things. It's pretty amazing. So
don't you imagine?
I'm excited.
Yeah, and don't you imagine too that there will be companies that develop? I mean, don't imagine, like, the people have been talking about this. But you've got companies, let's say it's Delta Airlines that creates an agent to work with your agent. Yeah. So in other words, like, hey, if you're building an agent to help you, plan your travel and book your travel, connect them into, Delta's Sam the robot, and they will figure it out together.
That's right.
So that's just going to encourage more consumers or business folks or whoever to figure out how to do this on their own, or maybe it'll be done for them. Like, hey, you don't even need to come up with your own. Just use our robot.
That's
and
right.
It'll do it for you. So, yeah, that's
right.
Pretty amazing.
It is the beginning of the end of websites as we know it.
Ooh,
think about that.
Well, what about the internet? I keep hearing people say that the internet's dead and email's dead because of AI. We're already into Talking Tech with Andy Chang. So let's just keep going.
Is there like
I didn't get to formally introduce it, but let's just keep going, because this is
like a foghorn or a bullhorn noise that comes
right,
in with that.
Right.
all right, here we go.
So let's back up. You said that this is the end of websites as we know it. So first, before we get to, is the internet dead? Is email dead? What do you mean by this is the end of websites as we know it?
If I have my own agent, why do I ever need to go to Delta.com? I just tell the agent, hey, book this flight for me. And I like the window seats. I never need to visit Delta.com. And as a matter of fact, it would be easier. This is where MCP comes in, those connectors. It'd be easier if the agent can talk to Delta's agent instead of just going to the website. And if I don't need to go to Delta.com, get the flights that I wanted booked automatically, I'm not going to Delta.com. I'm not going to uchicagomedicine.org. I'm just going to have my agents do the work to book that appointment, to get my prescription refilled, whatever it is. So the websites that were using as it is today, I think are going to have to change drastically, and to the point where websites are going to be more just for content curiosity, but not for conversion activity or calls to action. That's going to be handled by your agent. So the way that you design and think about websites has to change today. Agentic AI is here already, and it's only going to develop and become more mainstream in a matter of, you know, a couple of years. Gen AI, right? ChatGPT, when everyone heard about it, was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, we're going on three now.
Three almost? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Like, look how quickly that changed the way we just accept that as normal now. And so 3 years from now, you know, the agentic AI is going to be way more advanced, and it's just going to change the way that we do things as we know it. That's what I mean.
So a couple questions or points. Still would need something for the agent to search and find the what it needs. But
it doesn't need a front end.
What's that? Yeah.
It doesn't need a front end.
Right. How it does that is going to look and feel completely different. I think I've also keep hearing more about, you know, we've been hearing like SEO's dead, blah, blah, blah. But I do hear a lot of conversation about how all the ways in which we've learned to leverage content are either completely dead because of this, or we'll have to change dramatically. So the idea, for example, of putting out a blog post. In fact, I was just talking to a health system marketer who shared like, hey, we used to get the most traffic to our website from our blog because it would go out there, we'd go on the socials, it'd be what is pulling people in, right? And it's also usually your blog will cover more than just like we have a great orthopedic surgeon. It'll cover how do you keep your knees safe when you jog, that kind of stuff. So more people see it, blah, blah, blah. And he was sharing like that's just completely fallen off. The traffic to their blog has completely fallen off, and therefore it's impacting their web traffic because people, the whole idea of a long tail kind of goes away.
That's right.
So I think that's another aspect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what about the internet? So the way I hear that the internet's going to die is that AI will make it so easy and so cheap to flood the zone with content that it'll become useless because nobody will know what's real, what's not. And people will just, you know, to your point, like I'm not even going to go to my browser for all this. If my agent can just go.
That's right.
And if that's true, and if the whole model of the web is based on eyeballs, funding, in many cases, funding the content and the eyeballs go away, what then?
What happens? That is something that is, I don't have super strong hunches on this one, but the content world itself, that is how the content is what feeds AI, and it's going to have to exist somewhere, and people will always create content, whether it's video or blogs, what have you, and it'll always be people want to share. It'll always be news. Content is going to have to exist somewhere, but getting flooded with it, I don't know if it's going to really make. This is where I struggle. I don't know if it's going to really make a meaningful difference in the way that I personally search for content or how people search for content.
Sure,
because people tend to have their habits or their go-tos and where they get their content, whether it is Google or AI or New York Times or the news aggregators or, you know, Reddit, what have you. It's going to explode, but I don't think it's going to necessarily take people off of the internet completely. Content is a way not just to get information, but also to get connection. And the I think what's going to be probably just as popular is having bots that check the validity of the content and to make sure that those news sites or whatever aggregators are out there can check the accuracy of things so that people know that it's accurate. And then the other thing, which is what Cloudflare did, which is trying to prevent AI from, you know, scraping their sites and maybe start to charge AI to get their content. It is a wild west right now. And I don't think it's going to really change the content reading consuming behavior as much. There's going to be something that no one's ever thought of, like the next TikTok or what have you, that will maybe change things up. But people really just need, at a basic fundamental level, Maslow's hierarchy need, they just need to have that connection.
Okay, so website's going to change, thumbs up. Internet's going to die, thumbs down, or probably not. Last one, email. And the email, the death of email is coming from the idea that most people's email, the vast majority of it is crap.
Yep.
It's spam, it's sales, it's whatever. You have to weed through all of your emails, especially if you work in the corporate environment, to get to the stuff that matters. And AI combined with other technology advances in marketing, again, is going to make it so easy and so cheap to send out emails, you know, and people are just going to be like, there's no point in me even using this anymore, because now instead of 90% of my inbox is full of shit, excuse my language, 99.9% of it is. Yep. So I'm not, if you want to get a hold of me, don't use email, because I can't even find you.
Yep.
I don't know if that sounds maybe more feasible than an internet thing, but I don't know.
I think that is way more feasible. So going back to the connectors, like Anthropic and Claude, and also actually OpenAI, they have a way for you to connect directly into Gmail and your mail apps, where it will read your email if you give it permission to, and it will tell you what to read, and then it will tell you how to respond. And if you change the setting, and this also works with Claude's Apple Messages, by the way, it'll read your text messages and your notes. You can set it so that it will automatically respond to those messages and texts and emails if you want it to. So email is going to just become another way of an outdated mode of transportation, so to speak. And we'll just use that infrastructure to build more modern stuff on top of it. But there's going to be a day when you get an email and maybe, man, like, let's say 1% of the emails you get in a given day was actually written by a person, even though 10% of it was actually related to your work. So it is going to be really interesting how that changes and how we communicate. It is very wide open, green field, white space, whatever the cool right term is now. But I'm playing around a lot with Claude's MCP, because they were the first one to have something, a connector with Apple, and it's not working great, but I know it will soon. And,
sure.
And the prompt that I gave it was, hey, read all my messages from so-and-so and pretend that you are a psychologist. How would you evaluate the conversation and my personality type and the other person's I'll just be honest, it's my family. And how would you analyze our behavior?
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you can just do that automatically.
So it reminds me of a book that a business coach recommended, whom he called, God, I'm going to get the name wrong, I think it's Diamond Butterfly. But it's one of those like DISC or Myers-Briggs, where it's focused on business, and you can audit or assess yourself or others easily from the outside and put them into one of four camps. And the premise of the book is, it's not just about like the golden rule, where you treat people how you want to be treated. It's not just about the platinum rule, is treat people how they want to be treated. It's how does your preferences and style mesh with somebody else's preferences and style, because that intermingling is different than some other. And then what do you do? So if you're an A and you're talking to a C, that's a different conversation if you want to get what you want out of it.
Yeah.
Then it would be talking to a B. Imagine that author creates a ChatGPT agent to say like, hey, tell me five things about this person. and read the emails from this person, and I will tell you what category they're in. And based on what I know about you, here's how you should shape your comms with them, personal and digital, so that you have a better working relationship and you're able to achieve what you want to achieve in that engagement. Like that, that's why that isn't happening right now. I don't know, but it should. Whoever I know who the author is. I'll send them the idea.
Yeah, I have I know what you're. I have read and taken the test of what you're talking about. I can't remember it either, but absolutely, yes. And there was a company that did that for LinkedIn. It would look at your LinkedIn and tell you your personality type and how they prefer to be sold to and all that stuff based on just your LinkedIn posts. And
so Crystal Knows, is that it? I mean, we leverage Crystal Knows sometimes.
Really?
Because it can tell from your internet footprint.
Yeah.
Like, just like you said, and it's pretty accurate when you apply it to like yourself or people you know.
That's right. I did it to myself. Like, yeah.
All right. So let's keep talking technology. Let's shift gears. We've got a few minutes left. How are you using, it can be AI, but we've talked a lot about AI. How are you using technology right now to advance what you're doing in your role, Andy, in terms of like marketing? So that could be a thousand different things, but what's the biggest, most important thing in your mind that you're trying to accomplish right now with the latest, greatest MarTech stack?
Yep. Okay. Let's talk stack. Wow, that came out wrong. Let's talk MarTech stack.
Let's talk tech stack. How's that?
The idea that marketing is pretty pictures and commercials and ads to me is very old school, as you know, and as you agree with. Marketing is more about creating that perception in someone's mind in a positive way using every touch point. And those touch points aren't just emails and ads. It is also when you walk into the front door of our building or even the parking deck. It is when you are even looking for the garbage can or trying to book an appointment, whatever the touch point is, how do we make that experience as seamless and frictionless as possible? With generative AI and agentic, those touch points can be so hyper-personalized now and to the point where it shouldn't matter what Chris Bevelo wants when he is interacting with UChicago Medicine. We shouldn't care. However you want to act with us or interact with us is how we should accommodate. And so our tech stack is being built in such a way that all of those touch points, in person, online, offline, on the phone, everything is being put into one place in a CDP. And then we use that CDP to activate agentic AI. And you are able to interact with us, whether it's a phone call or SMS or WhatsApp or email, web chat, whatever you want to do, whatever question you have, whatever channel you prefer. That is what we should allow. So the analogy is using Burger King or McDonald's app to get your meal, your burger that's, you know, 900 calories, however you want it. Do you want it delivered? Do you want it to be picked up at the drive-through window? Do you want it to be delivered to your car in the parking lot? Do you want to change your mind halfway through and change it? Great. They don't care. What they care about is the fact that they're making it such an easy experience that the next time you're thinking about fast food, which I am now, good Lord, I know what I'm having for lunch. Yeah. they're making such an easy experience that you'll come back again and again and you'll tell your friends about it, and that's how they will get revenue. And that's how we're thinking about our tech stack and our experiences within healthcare. We shouldn't care how you choose to interact. My mom, my dad, My sister, myself, my kids, we all want to interact with healthcare in different ways, except we force you to only interact with us one way. That day and age is, I'm trying to make it come to an end. And so we are trying to be very aggressive with that vision and have a steering committee built, a journey map built. We have our tech stack being built right now. We have partnered with Salesforce to build it out with it, their agent force, and we are their first to be using their voice AI pilot in the industry. So there's a lot of excitement about this internally, and hopefully once we launch it externally as well. And that's to me what that is what marketing is all about, is how do we really get people to have such a great experience in any touch point that they want to come back and tell their friends, and just we'll just be the top of mind destination for any of their healthcare needs. But overall, it is just the right thing to do, for crying out loud. It's 2025. I can play video games about zombies and see all the intestines spill out, and yet I still have to call a 1-800 number to book an appointment that's going to be 6 months out. So it's just very
I'm trying to think of what
weird.
the segue was there. So, like, if your intestines are falling out in real life, you would like to have the options. Yeah, that's the best I could do with your
Yeah,
dying light analogy.
don't make them call us, right?
Well, that sounds like a massive undertaking,
It
right?
is.
Because
It's
you mentioned the
yeah.
steering committee, because this has to be operationalized. It can't be something
That's
that,
right.
it doesn't fit on a billboard, that's for sure.
No,
Right? This
it
isn't
doesn't.
anything about that. Yeah,
It
that's
is
great.
a multidisciplinary committee that has compliance and IT and operations and our access center and our marketing, and it's the entire patient journey that we're trying to improve, not just one part of it, the entire thing. So it's got to be multidisciplinary and cross-functional, and everyone is 100% on board. It is really exciting, and honestly, it's why I joined UChicago Medicine. One of the biggest reasons why I joined UChicago Medicine in the first place. They wanted to do that, and I'm like, sign me up.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. All right, so we're almost at the end. What any final thoughts on tech, AI, intestines?
Yeah, well, what are you gonna have for lunch today? Now that we're just
I
it's
don't know, 'cause
lunchtime
I'm
right now.
starving now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked
I'm
about
starving.
intestines and burgers. Maybe I'll
In the
mix the two
same.
together. Yeah.
Nice. Nice
Yeah.
little
Or maybe
cannibalism.
well, why don't we just do an Uber Eats, and then we'll just play video games after this podcast is done.
Fair enough. Fair enough. We can do that. The unfortunate thing is, we'll end on this note. What's sad is the game that Andy's getting into, which is an amazing game. We can't play it together because we're on different systems. Again, like,
Cross
this is
platform.
healthcare. We did, that's the analogy. Like, why in the world can we not? We can play other games together. My
I
hope is that the
know.
new one that comes out in August will be cross-platform, and then we shall be sharing intestine spills together. All right. So, Annie, thanks so much for joining us.
Podcast will never see the light of day, which is
Oh,
fine.
yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Oh,
We're the No Normal
man.
Show.
Yeah, that's you brought the right guest on for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for joining, man. Appreciate
Wow,
it.
thanks for having me on. It's always fun to chat with you and shoot the stuff and zombies.
Absolutely. So, for everybody listening, don't forget that we want to hear from you. Shoot us an email at nonormal@bpdhealthcare.com. That can be about marketing. That can be about healthcare. That can be about video game recommendations. We'll take it all. And we may
Yep.
feature your question in the next episode.
And if you want to join our video game crew, we got a really good healthcare crew going.
We
Reach out
do.
to Chris Bevelo, please.
Yes, we
Because
do have a good crew going. We have
it is
one
fun.
non-healthcare person in there.
Oh, that's
But
right.
he used to be a CFO at a health insurer.
Yep.
So
So
that's
we
healthcare.
always leave him out to dry first.
We do.
We don't we
We have to check with them on the prior authorization before we kill somebody in the game. Make sure you share the show with friends and colleagues and give us a review and rating on iTunes and Spotify. That is all appreciated. Until next time, don't be satisfied with the normal. Push the no normal. Thanks for joining, everybody. We will talk to you next week. Bye.
That's a smart list. Bye.
3, 2, 1. Here we go.